بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Last week we were talking about verse 49. I want to finish it real get the door please. I want to finish it real quick and go to the next verses, which are very important verses we're going to take. The thing we stopped at after the term is some of the unique lessons from the verses. And that's that Allah said, ثُمَّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نكحتم المؤمنات ثم طلقتموهن. Why did Allah use ثم؟ Allah used ثم. Marriage, then ثم طلاق. Marriage, ثم طلاق. He could have used أو. He could have used و. But he used ثم. There's many other statements that he could have used. Why did Allah say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نَكَحْتُمْ? The word here is marriage. The word here is divorce. If you marry, and then divorce. Why did Allah use ثُمَّ instead of أَوْ or wa or fa? All these mean the same thing, and then. Because the eloquency of the Qur'an is unique. Look how unique the Qur'an is. You use this word, which, I mean, if I were to talk in Arabic, and I use any of these words, it's all the same. However, the eloquency of the Qur'an is special. ثُمَّ has a special unique meaning to it, which is after, extended after. Meaning you don't marry and divorce right after. أَوْ وَفَى could mean like a short period of time. ثُمَّ extended, meaning exhort all your efforts in trying to work it out and then divorce it. That's a special unique meaning in ثُمَّ. That's why he used ثُمَّ instead of أَوْ and wa and fa. Why? Because of course, as you know, divorce is halal. Divorce is halal. The Prophet ﷺ, as you know, divorced. He divorced in Musta'idha. And it's no problem with divorce, and it's not bad in that the person who does it is not outcast in the community like the Christians believe. You know, the Christians believe if you, actually I think they had it banned for a certain period of time. And if you have, like the President of the United States, there was a certain stage in the United States where if he divorced his wife, he cannot even nominate himself to be a president. It's like a black dot on him. In Islam, we don't have that. However, we do have levels. We do have levels you gotta go through before you divorce. Because it's ثُمَّ. Allah said, فَعِذُهُنَّ. Talk to them. وَهْجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجَ. You know, you communicate to your wife. Maybe she doesn't know what's wrong. You teach her what's wrong from what's right. The second one, وَهْجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجَ. Don't sleep with them. Why is it don't sleep with them? Because when a man sleeps with a woman, it's sort of a weapon she has on him. He has desires for her, and it's a weapon she has against him. So if she loses that weapon, then she's going to reconsider. Oh, he doesn't need me anymore. She's going to reconsider what she's doing. The third one, after that, فَضْرِبُهُنْ, and that's to hit him. All the guys got happy now. You know, they said, oh, cool. And that's, of course, ضَرْب. The Prophet ﷺ taught us what it is hidden in a manner that doesn't harm. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. It's hitting them in a manner that doesn't harm them. You know, like the Prophet ﷺ did. He took one time the edge of his stove. He took the edge of his stove and he hit one of his wives with it or tapped her with it. And a woman, a decent woman, sees that as though, you know, he made her black and blue and bruised her all up. Because that's tough for a man to do something like that who never does that. So these are the three levels of a man. The same with the woman. She has to go through certain steps. Those don't have to go through that kind of step. But for example, he doesn't pray. She warns him. She brings other people to speak to him. If that doesn't happen, then she should ask for a divorce. Especially if it's a matter of haram and halal. If he does something prohibited in the house, he drinks in the house, she should warn him, talk to him. If she reaches a certain level, then she should file and ask for a divorce. How does a woman divorce in Islam? How does what court we got today? How does a woman divorce, Ya Kailani? How does she do khala?
She goes to the judge and she.
What if you don't have a judge? Imam. What if you don't have an imam? Like now, huh?
Like now, she can divorce.
Okay, what's the reason a woman? What's the reasons a man can divorce a woman?
A man can divorce.
What's the reason a man can divorce a woman for? He doesn't need a reason. Really. It's not oppressive for a woman, because I always say that. A woman should ask for dowry. If she should ask for dowry, that'll make the man think 2 and 3 and 4 and 10 times about divorcing her. If you go and pay $1 to marry a woman, you're going to say, what the heck, I'll divorce her any day and get another one for another dollar. If you pay, if she asks for $5,000, she may not need it. But she asks for $5,000, that's going to make the man, it took a lot of time to gather this money and pay it for her. So the woman should be wise, and we should teach the woman about this in the future, that they shouldn't be أَقَلُّهُنَّ مَهْرًا أَكْثَرُهُنَّ. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَقَلُّهُنَّ مَهْرًا, the least in dowry is the most in barakah. What does that mean, Saeed? The Prophet, I just told you, you should ask for a large amount of dowry. Not a large amount. If you got someone who's coming to you, who's a gas station worker, he has saved up to 8, 10,000. Maybe ask for 8,000. Give it, cut him some slack. However, don't go around, he has 10,000, and go and ask him for 20,000, which he could never do. Then that becomes a problem. But he has some amount of money saved, then ask so he can feel that he's getting married. The hadith means, أَقَلُّهُنَّ مَهْرًا, the lowest in their dowry, is the most in barakah, is the mahar of those around them. Meaning, the Yemeni girls are going, I always use this example, are going around for 20,000, some of them, 15, 20,000. That's the average dowry men pay for a Yemeni woman. The average, from what I know. A man, a disrespectable woman comes, says, no, I don't want 15,000, I'll take 8,000. That's أَقَلُّهُنَّ مَهْرًا. She don't go, oh, 15,000, hey, I'll take a Qur'an or a mushaf for a dollar. No, that's not the right way to do it. Then, if he divorces her, she'll regret it. If he divorces her when she has the 8,000, no, he's going to think about it, it's going to be a major problem. So a man can divorce for any reason, he should go through the steps we talked about. A woman can do the same thing. She can divorce a man for any reason. However, what's the exception here? What's the exception? She told him, you're divorcee? What? The man, all he does is say, you're divorcee. And she's done. He says it 3 times in 3 sevenths. He can never touch her again until she remarries someone and has relationship with him. How does a woman divorce a man? How's the khula you're talking about?
Well, the court does it. The judge does it.
How? No? How? What does she have to do?
She has to show reason.
What if she doesn't show reason? What if he's ugly looking? She can divorce the same way a man can divorce for any reason. She can divorce for any reason.
Yeah, but when she does it, they cannot get back together no matter what.
No, they can get back. They can get back after khula. However, she can do it for any reason. The only difference is she has to go through a sheikh. Now, we have a sheikh. Why you go to a sheikh? Because we don't have a khalifa or imam. If there was a khalifa or imam, you go to the khalifa. You don't have that? You go say, I want to divorce my husband. Why? Doesn't matter. He could try to work things out, recounsel, wait a year. That's what we always do. However, after that, she has to give him the dowry back. She can divorce, but she got to give him the dowry back. She got to give him anything she asked for. For example, she said, I want a big wedding in the Hyatt Regency or the, what's the other hotel over here? The big one right here. The Ritz-Carlton. I want a hotel, I must have one. He didn't suggest it. She said, I want a hotel, I want a marriage in the Ritz-Carlton or the Hyatt Regency. It costed him $50,000. She requested it in the marriage. Then she got to pay him back for that. She got to pay him the dowry. And then the judge will either tell him, you divorce. Tell her you divorce by force. If she doesn't, the judge will say, I separate between you two and that's it. She can remarry again. They can remarry again after that.
Okay, another
yes.
Now, when you say... A man, he has to pay the dowry, the mahar, to his wife when he marries her. When they're married, he paid the amount to her. When they get divorced, she doesn't have to give back to him. It's a hadiyah. That's a gift of the marriage, right?
If she gets divorced,
yes.
Of course she doesn't give him nothing. She doesn't give him.
You just said that...
If it's the man divorcing, if I'm the man, I'm divorcing, I can't get nothing back. If she's divorcing me, yes, she has to give me everything back. Yes, she give me the mahar back. Yes, because she's asking for a divorce. If it's for a religious reason, some scholar said no, like he doesn't pray, you don't give the mahar back. But if she's asking for a divorce, yes, she has to give him the mahar back. That the one who has the mahar owns the marriage. The man owns it because he paid the mahar. The woman does the same thing, but she has to pay the mahar back. That's the way it is. That's the only way it makes sense.
So let's just say, okay, then you can do this. You can tell your wife that you
Some guys do that. Yes, some people do that. If they pay the money, or some of them do worse than that. We'll talk about it later. They put a mu'akhar.
Yeah,
the mu'akhar I'm going to talk about is you're not supposed to have that in Islam. There's a mu'akhar which they say, okay, you pay her 5,000 now, this is before the marriage, and if you're going to divorce, you got to pay her 100,000. That's some, most scholars say it's haram, and it's not right to do it by any means. But we'll get to that inshallah. But you got to know the rule. The khula, a woman, if she asks for divorce, which is khula, she has to pay in compensation. The dowry and anything he paid for. No, not his living through. If they live together for 2 years and he paid and he bought her clothes and apartment and a house, she doesn't give nothing back. But anything when they got married, she requested a big marriage ceremony or she requested a high dowry, she has to pay all that money back. I don't know that she must do that. That's more, it's not dowry, that's more of a gift. That's a bad way to get married too. It's a sad tradition that many of the Pakistani, the Indians have, where the woman pays a lot of the divorce, the marriage expenses. Right? Am I mistaken? That's right. That's more of a gift. It's not considered mahar or anything. It's more of a gift. It's really the man who should take upon himself to pay her. So if she goes back, she asks for it, she's like asking for a gift. The Prophet ﷺ said anyone who asks for a gift back is like, who knows? كَالْكَلْبِ عُدُفِقَ Like a dog going back in his vomit. A dog goes and vomits and usually goes back and licks his vomit. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if you give a gift and you go back in it, it's like a dog going and getting back his vomit. Okay. If it's by force, nothing by force is held valid in Islam. If a marriage by force is held, it's considered invalid. We break that marriage. You could. The scholar says it's haram to go back in your gift. Most scholars say it's not haram. Just because the Prophet ﷺ said it's like a dog going to back his vomit, is it haram for a dog to go back and lick his vomit? It's not haram. It's just the Prophet ﷺ is saying, don't do that. It's disgracing someone who does that. The way it is, the way I seen in the Pakistani and Indian community is that it has to be that way. The woman has to pay it.
It's a given. Exactly. Woman's family, it's like a given. A woman's family.
Okay, save your questions. We'll get to them at the end. Let's get going because we didn't even get started. We'll do them at the end. Write them down on the side. We'll get to them. Unless it concerns something important about this talk. Why did we say tamassuhunna? Why did I say the Prophet ﷺ talked about other than kilani? Why did the Prophet ﷺ say tamassuhunna instead of another word about marriage? The Prophet Allah used in the Quran tamassuhunna. That's the next point. The first point we took so far before the question is why Allah used thumma. The next point is why He used tamassuhunna. And we said, if you remember, because tamassuhunna in Arabic means touch, it could also mean sexual relationship. Allah used tamassuhunna because the Quran is held in a higher standard. The Quran is held in a higher standard where it does not even use terms that are allowed. For example, nikah. Nikah means sexual relationship. Allah could have used nikah, which is clean word. It's a clean word. Anyone could use it. It's in many hadith. However, Allah holds the Quran in a higher standard and used the word tamassuhunna, which literally means touching, to mean sexual relationship, because the Quran's terms have to be a very higher standard, so no one can object and say, look what you got in the Quran, or look at the nasty stuff that you talk about, because I told you the debate between Jimmy Swaggart and Ahmed Didat, where he dared him to read a passage from the Bible. He dared him to read a passage because it was so filthy. فما لكم عليهن من عدة. Okay, we got. Let's start with some of the hukum, some of the hukum that we take from these verses. What's عدة? What's عدة? For who? For who is the عدة? For women, for what? When he divorces her or what? What's the next thing? What is it, sister? When he divorces her or her husband dies. There's a عدة. عدة, it literally means to count. عدة literally means to count. And what it means to count is when I divorce a woman, she got to remain a certain period of time where no one touches her to see if she's pregnant. This is my right, the husband's right. Because Allah said in the Quran, فَمَا لَكُمْ لَكُمْ to the men. عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ عِدَّةٍ. So it's the man's right. Why is it the man's right? Because back then, it was very jealous. A man would get very jealous if his wife is pregnant and someone else is having a relationship with her. Back then, until now, a lot of Arabic people, Americans don't really care. You know, the non-Muslim, the kafir, they don't really care. But to have a woman who's pregnant with your son and someone else is having a relationship with her, that's something big. That's number one reason. Another reason is we know if someone divorces his wife, then another person 2 days later has a relationship with her, who's the father? We don't know who the father is. So there has to remain 3 months or so until we find out if she's pregnant or not. When she's, this is, in divorce is 3 months. After the third reason for that is if he wants to go back and reconcile. They got 3 months to go back and reconcile. Who's going to give me the three reasons for Iddah? We mentioned three reasons. The number one reason?
Jealousy
of a man having the wife. He's pregnant and someone else having a relationship with her. Second one? If she's pregnant or not. To find out if she's pregnant or not. The third reason for Iddah? Reconcile. If I divorce my wife, I say to my wife, you're divorcee. She's divorced. However, I got 3 months. I can tell her, come back here. If I touch her, just touch her. If I verbally tell her, you're back my wife, she's back my wife in the three. Someone's listening in? Someone's listening?
I'm recording.
I'll record it. If you want to bring it here, that's better for you.
And during that, the time he's still with his wife, he's in the same house.
They gotta remain together. They gotta sleep in the same bed. That's how Islam deters divorce. If you're gonna sleep with a wife for 3 months, side by side, she's next to you, and you're not going to have no relationship with her, you got to be something, you know, something's really wrong there. You know, something's really wrong. And could be the husband is gay or something. so that's how Islam, if he in any way hints to her, you're back as my wife, she becomes his wife. And that's how Islam deters from divorce. Okay, if I marry a woman, I do the aqid and everything. However, she's in her father's house and I'm in my house. Like the Arabic people do. They rarely let you even, although she's your wife, you bring the sheikh, he brings the witnesses, he brings the dowry, the father says, I let you marry my daughter. They do all the aqid, but she's in her father's house and I'm in my house. And we never go alone together. And then, I divorce her. Something happens, I argue with my father-in-law, I divorce her. Does she have to have a iddah?
No.
Why not? She was married. What's marriage, Faraz? What's the rules for marriage? Give me the rules for marriage. What's the rules for marriage? Come on, guys. We went over this so many times. A lot. Number one rule for marriage. Don't look in your notes. You guys should know this. Witnesses. Two witnesses. Number two? Okay, Faraz. Go ahead. Mahar, dowry. Dowry. Come on, number three. Guardian permission. Number four? Sheikh? That's why I teach you this, because you guys can go around marrying people. That no, it doesn't no, acceptance. Verbal acceptance. Verbal. Has to be between the man say I marry you. Let's say we do all this. Two witnesses. The dowry specified. The dowry doesn't have to be paid. The dowry doesn't have to be paid. Note that. It has to be specified though. Or that you're going to talk about it in the future. Guardian, permission. Acceptance has to be verbal. The man say, I accept her. The woman say, I accept him. The father-in-law, the father, say, I allow them to get married. We have this. She's in her father's house. And I'm in my father's house. And then something happens. We never go alone together. And I divorce her. There's no idda for that, like you said. Why? 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 Doesn't matter. Let's assume they go alone and don't touch each other. Or supposedly they claim they didn't touch each other. There's an iddah. Why? Because of this verse. The verse we're talking about. You guys haven't been reading it. يَا إِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نَكَحْتُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ طَلَّقْتُمُهُنْ. If you marry a woman and then you divorce her, مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَمَسُّوهُنَّ, without any relationship with that, and meaning, relationship means also that they don't go alone. Because we don't take their word. If they say, oh, nothing happened, we don't take their word. Then there's no idda. The verse clearly specifies that. What's wrong?
That's what I was just trying to say.
The verse? Oh, you have to say the proof? The verse. The verse we're talking about.
Okay.
The verse? The verse? The verse clearly states, if you marry a woman and then you divorce her without touching her, sexual relationship, there's no idda. The verse clearly says that. That's the verse we're talking about. It's verse 49. Huh? That's the verse. They don't have it. Apologize for that. Okay, so the first hukum, we know the iddah, we know the reasons for iddah, we know when you don't have to have iddah. Everyone with me? The next one is, can I divorce a woman before marrying her? Can you divorce her? If I say to a woman, if I marry in the future, you're divorcing.
Yes.
She's divorced?
Yes.
What's your proof? But she's not your wife.
But still, even when you get married, then you're divorced.
He's a radical. You're a radical, Ya Kaylani.
No,
the verse. Look at the verse. You're Arab. Look at the verse. إِذَا نَكَحْتُمْ ثُمَّ طَلَّقْتُمْ. And then you divorce them. This is one of the proof the scholars use, that if you divorce a woman, some stupid person could say, and this happens a lot, any woman I marry in the future, she's a divorcee. Some scholars did adopt his opinion, but that's wrong because of this verse. Allah said, "Nakahtum," marriage, then divorce them. It has to be marriage, then divorce. There's also hadith to support it. There's no divorce in something you don't own. Yeah, you could say it, but the divorce doesn't fall in something that you don't own. So we know the number three is matti'uhun. What did we say matti'uhun means? What's matti'uhun? Enjoyment or pleasure. Allah says if you marry them and then divorce them without touching them, there's no iddah. Matti'uhun. Give them something for their enjoyment and pleasure. Meaning something financial. Something financial. Why would Allah say matti'uhunna and give them something for their enjoyment and pleasure? This applies if there's no mahar. Some people could say we'll decide the mahar later. All of them. The wife could say, okay, I accept, we decide the mahar later. Assuming the divorce happened before they decided what the mahar is, then a Muslim has to pay her something in compensation. What the amount is, it goes up to the imam, the khalifa, the sheikh, up to what he decided. Could some scholar said a dress and something, you know, that is equivalent to a month worth of living, you know, how much it costs her to live a month, average it out and give her a month. You know, it's disputed how much it is, but if the mahar is not specified, he has to give her something for her enjoyment and pleasure, something financial. What it is, this goes up to the imam or the sheikh. What if the mahar is specified? If the mahar is not specified, then he has to give her something for enjoyment and pleasure. Something the sheikh will decide. What if the mahar is not specified? Who knows? Who said half? Athman? You said half? Someone said half? Half is the right. You pay someone? I thought I heard half. If you pay her, the dowry we agreed on is $5,000. We divorce before we have any sexual relationship, she gets half of that. فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ. Allah said in the Quran, فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ. So if there's a divorce without the mahr being specified, you gotta give her something for مَتِّعُهَا, something for her enjoyment and pleasure. The sheikh or the imam or the khalifa will specify it. If there is a mahr, you give them half of it.
If the mahr wasn't specified at the time of the marriage, then it's not marriage.
Yes, it is. They can agree a later date, we're going to specify it. The both, all three parties have to agree. The husband, the wife, and the father-in-law. Okay, the mahr, they get married. And they say the dowry, we're going to discuss it in the future. All parties agree, we're going to discuss the mahr in the future. They get a divorce before he has sexual relationship with her. What do you do? There's no mahr specified, you have to give her something for enjoyment and pleasure, you know, could be anything the imam or the khalifa specified. If the mahar is specified, she gets half of it. Allah said in another verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ. One half of that which you give her. $5,000, she gets half of that.
So if you have those four conditions, but they don't have a sexual relationship, they're still married.
If all these are there, that's marriage. He can take her and he can do whatever he wants with her. She can do whatever, they're husband and wife. There's no ceremony. You don't see a marriage ceremony here. A lot of people think this is not valid until you have a marriage ceremony. There's no, yes, it's sunnah. Yes, you should have a marriage ceremony. However, it's not a pillar of these that you have that you have to have before you can be alone with your wife or have a relationship with her. In fact, the sunnah of the ceremony is when? Who knows? The real sunnah. After marriage. The morning after marriage. That's right. It's not the sunnah like we do it the night before marriage. It's the night after he has a relationship with his wife. That's about, we conclude with the last verse. And let me give you the summary. We said that a man should choose a believer woman. The number one is should choose a believer woman. And if he happens to choose a non-Muslim woman, she must be a pure woman. The second one is that talaq should happen only in necessity. What's the hadith? Do you know a hadith for that?
What did you say?
About talaq, that Allah hates talaq. That's a weak hadith. That's why I made you say it. You see, I always catch the Kailanis, Uthman. You see, abghadu al-halal, the most hatred thing of halal to Allah is divorce. The most hated thing to Allah is divorce. That's a weak and non-actually fabricated hadith. How could something be halal to Allah and He hates it? That doesn't make sense. Yes, it's not right, but it's not hated to Allah. And if the extreme, if the measures goes truly, there's no problem with it at all. But that hadith in itself is not right. It's not authentic. The third point, there's no iddah. There's no iddah unless what? No iddah unless there's a sexual relationship. The fourth point is a Muslim must specify amount for his wife or his ex-wife if he divorces her and the mahar is not set. The end of the verse, and this is the last point, says, سَرِّحُوهُنَّ صَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. Let them go in a nice and easy way. Release them handsomely. Release them handsomely. That's the last point. What do I mean by that point? Usually when divorces get nasty, you know, a man, especially Muslim men, unfortunately do this. They say, okay, go to your mother's house or your father's house, and you know what? I'm not going to divorce you, and I'm going to, you know, give you a run around for the khula. I'm not going to meet with the sheikh. And she goes on for possibly, I know women for years who go on like that. Some in this country where there's no qadi, they're stranded. They can't get married because they're on the name of the husband. He's not with them. He doesn't support them. That's why Allah says, سَرِّحُوهُنَّ صَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. Let them go handsomely. In another verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ. You know, a lot of men get jealous over their ex-women. فَلَا, don't make it hard on them to get remarried again. فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ أَن يَنْكِحْنَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ. Don't make it hard on them. In another verse, Allah says, "Imsakun bi ma'roof." You either together with her nicely, or you divorce her peacefully and nicely as well. فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Let's start on these verses. Go ahead. Let us take them at the end. How about that? Because we don't save them, write them down, we won't forget them, and then we'll take them at the end. The verses you have, write them down so we won't forget your questions, everyone. The verses we have today are in Surah Al-Baqarah from 50 to 52. Uthman, read the two verses.
O Prophet, lo, we have made lawful unto thee thy wives, unto whom thou hast paid their dowries, and those whom thy right hand possessed, and those whom Allah hath given thee as spoils of war, and the daughters of thine uncle on the father's side, and the daughter of thine aunts on the father's side, and the daughters of thine aunts on the mother's side, who are with thee. And the living woman, if she give herself unto the Prophet, and the Prophet desire to ask for the marriage, the privilege would be on thee, not for the rest of the believers. We are aware of that which we have concerning their wives, and those whom their right hand possess, that thou mayest be free from blame, for Allah is ever forgiving and merciful.
Read the next one.
Thou canst defer whom thou wilt.
Okay, these two verses, basically, the first verse in a one-line summary, talk about the women the Prophet ﷺ is permitted to marry. And that's, the ones that migrated with him, his cousins from his father's side, his cousins from his mother's side. Also says anyone who asks you to marry him, who offer themselves to you, those who are actually concubines, all those the Prophet ﷺ is permitted to marry. The second verse says, basically the summary is, you accept from those who you want to accept, and you don't have to accept which you don't want to accept, and it lets the Prophet ﷺ free of any obligations upon him. Free of any obligation, meaning being equal among them, and we'll talk about that in a second. First of all, the terms. The first is the terms. Bear with me because this is long. I don't think we have class next week, so you're not going to answer questions, huh?
Well, I got Yusuf.
You got the terms over here. The first term is Aykum Salaam. Nah, there's no class? Okay. Ahlalna. The first verb name is, the first term is Ahlalna. Ahlalna means permitted. We have permitted.
You know he's trying to get me back because I got him at a mistake.
You know, I couldn't wait to get rid of your brother. Now we got you. Ujurahun. The second term, ahlalna means permitted. The second term is ujurahun. What's ujurahun? What's ujurahun, ya kaylani?
Ajr is like the wage or the...
But in this verse, ya ayyuhan nabiyyuna ahlalna laka azwajaka allati ataytahum hunna ujurahun. Dowry. Ujurahun means wage. In this verse, it means dowry. Malakat yaminuk. Malakat yaminuk. The third one, malakat yaminuk. Malakat yaminuk is slaves and concubines or servants. Turji. Turji. What's turji? Turji and tu'wi. What's turji and tu'wi, Kaylani? ترجي إليك من تشاء منهن الآية اللي بعدها وتؤوي إليك من تشاء
تؤوي
release.
Okay, that's good. Release, meaning those who offer themselves, you can release them. Tell them, I don't want to marry you. Turji, tu'wi, what is it? Accept it. Turji is to release them. Release them of, you know, I don't want to marry you, I don't want you. You could use it in any way. Over here it means you release those women who ask you to marry them. Tu'wi is to bring them and make them your wives. Ahlalna, permitted. Permitted. These terms, inshallah, you know, all this is on the internet. The first class is on the internet. They take some time to edit, but sister's been doing them and putting them on the internet. So, JazakAllah. The reason for revelation. This verse was revealed after another verse in the Quran where we talked about last week. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكُ O you prophet of Allah, tell your wives, if they want this life and what's in this life, then I'll give you the enjoyment and pleasure of this life. And if they want the life after, then they have to be patient in that which goes on in his prophet's, the Prophet's life. That's verse 28 of this surah. When that was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ was ordered to ask his wives. He was ordered to go to each one and ask them, do you want to stay with me? In the hardships, in the time that the little time that I have to offer, the little wealth that I can give you, or do you want to go and enjoy life? And all of them, of course, chose to stay with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, this verse was revealed. Why? Because it freed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of any obligation towards his wife, meaning he doesn't have to be with them equally. He doesn't have to spend the night with each one. He can spend the night here. He doesn't have to by farm. He did that in his life, but he doesn't have to. So freedom of any obligation that he had upon them. This is the reason for the revelation of verse 52. Yes, we're going to talk about that. Yes, you're right. But we're going to talk, that's the point of this verse. He doesn't have to be equal amongst his wives. The unique terms, unique issues about these terms is أحللنا. Who's the one who made أحللنا? Who's it referring to? على مين برجع الضمير؟ على الله. أحللنا, the first unique thing is Allah said أحللنا. You can use that to show that the only one who makes halal and haram is Allah. Because it says أحللنا, we made halal for you, Allah did. So you know that the only one who makes the haram and the halal is Allah. That's the first point. Second unique point is Allah makes the halal and the haram. The second point is you gave them their dowry. Allah says in the Quran, the ones you gave them their dowry. What does it mean you gave them their dowry? You don't have to give a woman her dowry when you really initially get married. You don't have to specify it. However, the Prophet ﷺ always and all his wives gave the dowry right in front before he had any relationship with her and during the time when the aqd was made. Who knows why? Who knows why? Although you don't have to do it, the Prophet ﷺ did that. He always gave his dowry beforehand.
To show the value of the marriage?
To show that it's the best. And all the Sahaba followed in his footsteps. All the Sahaba. Meaning, you get married, you say, I want a diamond ring. You don't say, oh, okay, I'll get it to you after 3 weeks after our marriage. You give it to her right before, right when this ceremony is going on over here, you give it to her. Why? That's the best thing, and that's how it should happen. The question comes, can you have part of your dowry given now, and part of it later, like a lot of Arabic people do? We do this a lot. I say, you can marry my sister if you pay 10,000 now, and if you're gonna divorce her, only if you're gonna divorce her, you pay 100,000. Some people put $1 million. You know, and you say, okay, if you divorce her, to do that. This is haram. Actually, I believe it's haram. Why? Because you're restricting something. You're aiming to restrict something that Allah permitted. Someone who's got 100,000, he's not gonna divorce her. And the father and the brother think they're wise in doing that, when they're actually stupid. Why? Because you got $1 million on you to divorce her. If I had a wife like that, I'd beat the heck out of her every day. every day, beat the heck out of her until she runs in the street and says, I'll just give it up, anything. I'll just give me a divorce. I forgive you for the $1 million. And that's what happens. That's what happens. So we shouldn't restrict that. We should choose a reputable man. If you choose a reputable man, don't worry about him. Don't worry about that. But when you start being financial and you're into money, like most people are, and that's how they judge people, then they restrict 100,000 or a million or whatever it is if he wants to divorce her. Most scholars say, and this is the fatwa of Ibn Uthaymeen, let's assume right now you found out you have 10,000 on you. You got 10,000 if you're married and 10,000 if you divorce her. You didn't know that was haram initially. You have it right now. That dowry becomes that you must give it to her right now. You add the 10 to the 10 and her dowry is $20,000. She either forgives you or she has a right to it. Did the Prophet... These are the two points. Allah makes what's halal and what's haram because Allah says, أَحْلَلْنَا. We made halal. Look, one little word right here, you find this hukum out of it, that Allah is the one who makes the halal and the haram. The second unique thing about this verse is that the Prophet is described in the Quran as always giving his wives the dowry beforehand to encourage us to always give beforehand. Some of the hukums on these verses. Let's organize it a little bit better. Did the Prophet ﷺ have a wife that offered herself to him? Which one? She offered herself to him or she was sent to him? She came to him and said, will you be my my husband? Yeah. Indirect. But out of the direct ones, the Prophet ﷺ had none. None direct. He had a lot of women who proposed to him. One time he was sitting with the Sahaba, a woman came to him and said, will you marry me, O Prophet of Allah? And the Prophet ﷺ looked at her and said, I have no reason to marry you. So one of the Sahaba said, if you have no reason, then I'll marry her. And he married her, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. No direct proposals like that. But however, like marriages happen. Someone comes and suggests, say, oh Prophet, what do you think about Khadija? Someone says, Khadija, what do you think about the Prophet? Yeah, there was. Ibn Abbas clearly states so. He said that the Prophet ﷺ did not have any woman who he was married to who directly offered themselves. Is it bad? Not at all. Not at all. As you're going to see what Umar did with Hafsa, it's not bad at all if the woman goes through the appropriate channel. She doesn't go, you know, in a college or university, talk to guys, and then says, will you marry me? No, but she sees someone, she could send her father to him, her brother, a sheikh, talk to a sheikh, wallah, I'm interested in this man, that's great. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, had a daughter, and he had a student who he favored. So he told his student, I offer you my daughter to marry. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib offered his daughter to one of his students. The unique thing about it, the next morning he woke up to go to her father's classes. She said, where are you going? She said, to your father's classes. He said, stay with me. Everything, the knowledge that my father has is with me over here. I've been listening to him so much that I'll sit and teach you that which you want to learn from my father. So it's not haram, it's not disrespectable, or it's not ill-mannered for someone to offer themselves. Did the Prophet ﷺ have to be just in dividing time? He didn't have to. Why? Because of this verse. It's a specialty of the Prophet ﷺ by proof of this verse. By the proof of the 51st verse where Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَن تَقَرَّ عَيُنَهُنْ وَلَا يَحْزَنَّ وَيَرْضَيْنَ بِمَا أَتَيْتَهُنْ. They shouldn't be sad or depressed, but they should be acceptance of whatever you give them. Whatever you give them. I mean, if you sleep here one day, you don't come back to another 3 months, and you stay the next 3 months with the other wife, they should be accepted. Did the Prophet ﷺ do that? Although he didn't have to, he never did that. He was equal in his wife's times. One night for each wife, and sometimes he'd go around all his wives, sleep all night, throughout, in one night, sleep with all 9 of his wives. How did he able to do that? Special. Yeah, that's right.
But Suwayda, the law, she gave up her knife to Aisha.
Yes. If you give it up, that's different. He didn't go, you know. In fact, he used to say his dua. Allahumma hadha rizqi fi ma amlik. This is what I can do. He used to say about Aisha, Aisha, you know, this is all I have under my power. I sleep every night here. I give this one. If I give this one 10 dirham, I give this one 10 dirham, I give that one. However, what's in my heart is what I can't control. Because you have to love one more than another. You love always love someone more than the other person. It always happens. You know, if you have 5 children, it's impossible you love them all the same. You can't. Love is in the heart. So he loved Aisha more than them. In fact, on his deathbed, even towards the days of his life, he used to keep asking, whose night am I at next? They all know whose he's going to. He wanted Aisha's day. He wanted to spend the last days in her house because he loved her. But although he wanted to do that, he didn't do that. He kept asking, whose night am I at next? Whose night am I at next? Until they knew what he was hinting at. They said, oh Prophet, we forgive you. Spend the last nights, which was about 6 or 7 nights. He spent them in Aisha's house alone. They forgave him. But he was always persistent in trying to be equal and just with them. Us, we can't do that. If you're married to 2 women, you can't do that. The punishment for you on the judgment day is that you stand on the judgment day lenient to one side. You have 1 woman you weren't just to, you stand on the judgment day on one side, leaning to one side. I was going to talk about, the next point I was going to talk about is refuting those who claim that the Prophet ﷺ was a womanizer for marrying so many women. That's the next point. And the point after that is a brief history on each one of the Prophet's wives. A brief history everyone should know, because these are the mother of the believers. But I know the women, sisters had an appointment I was aware of, so we'll wait for them because that's important. You know, a lot of people bring it up. You know, they say that the Prophet ﷺ was a womanizer, all these women he married. And if you really, there's ways to refute what they're saying. And also in addition to that, learning about their lives, you find out one was 55, one was 65, one didn't even have desire for a relationship. So she said, you can skip me and go to Aisha's day. She didn't have a desire for a relationship. So that's what we'll talk about inshallah after the break. If there's any questions now. Zat, go ahead.
For an example, nowadays we always find the perfect woman. And for other people, you find the perfect woman that you want. But her dad, he wants to walk. Just, no.
You gotta convince him. You gotta convince him.
He won't be convinced. We know this from experience. They almost 99% of all other people,
that's true.
They seek, they want.
But if you try your best, if. I don't know what to tell you, wallahi. If they don't accept by mu'akhar, I don't know what to tell you. I personally wouldn't marry her. Because I believe, I adopt the opinion, I believe it's haram. That's right. Especially the Arabic, that's probably one of the most important things that they have. Is that mu'akhar. Because they want to secure their daughter in the future. But I think if the sheikh came and mediated and talked to them, or someone they respected, maybe. Other than that, I don't know. Maybe go by the opinion that said it's halal.
No, I don't like to do it. Haram is good for me.
And it's good for the daughter herself. They're just narrow-minded. Oh, how about her future? What is it better for her, for him to divorce her, or to sit for a year and make her life a living hell so she can go and beg for a divorce? It's better for you to let him have the power when he doesn't want. And if they were good men, look, whoever has deen, like the Prophet ﷺ said, when you choose one who has deen, if he doesn't like her, he won't oppress her. And if he likes her, he will honor her and respect her. And either way, he's not going to oppress her. Yeah.
Can you repeat the first two of the steps that the man loves talking before he divorces his wife?
The one is speaking to them. فَعِظُهُنَّ فَعِظُهُنَّ, speak to them, talk to them. The second one is, what is it? Someone answer. Kailani, easy. This is the second one. فَعِظُهُنَّ وَهْجِرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. Abandon them and have a relationship with them. No relationship with them. The third, sexual relationship. They should sleep. I heard it from a judge in Medina, the one I mentioned last week, Sheikh Ati said, they should sleep together, But he shouldn't have a relationship with him. Because a woman feels that she has control over the man with that. Really. I didn't want to say that when the sisters were here, but that's what a woman thinks. When she loses that sword that she has on top of the man, then she, she'll rethink what's going on. The third one is fadribuhun, and the darb over here, of course, is restricted not to harm her, but, you know, to get her to her senses. Yes. There's one thing that you look for in a wife, not four.
I mean, there's a bunch like...
There's four that men look for in wife, but one is what we choose out of them.
What if you say you want to shoot something beyond that? Like you say, he's not outgoing.
How it really should go is that we look for... The Prophet ﷺ said, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَ لِجَمَالِهَا, her beauty. وَلِحَسَبِهَا, you know, her position in the community, maybe her job, whatever she's doing in the community. نَسَبِهَا is her family. Back then, if you marry a woman from a big family, still today the Arabic people do believe that. She's from a high family, from Quraysh, and you're not from Quraysh, you add prestige to yourself when you marry her. The fourth one is her beauty. The Prophet ﷺ said, all those, you know, you shouldn't be your goal. The one that should be goal is your religion, her religion. However, if you got her religion, or his religion, and he's handsome looking. Yeah. Or she wants handsome looking. She has that choice. And he has that choice as well. Both of them have that. But we're trying to say how a community should live by. The Prophet ﷺ in another hadith said, if you don't do it like this, walidiniya, that means you, we don't look to each other for religion, takun fitnatun fil ard wa fasadun kabir. Extreme evil and bad things will happen. That's what we see today. So if someone says, oh, I want him outgoing, I want him an engineer, I want a doctor, really it's not haram. She has a choice. It's going to cause a problem. It should be the outcast of our community who do that. The general one, because if everyone starts saying that, then we're not going to have people going to marry, then we're going to have haram going around. Yes, go ahead. إذا أتاكم من ترضون دينه وخلقه
فزوجوا فإن لم تفعلوا تكن في الأرض
كبير. That's what I meant.
I meant
if you don't do it for deen, this is what's going to happen. فتنة في الأرض وفساد كبير. Yes, it is a different hadith. So that's the problem we have today. You know, not a lot of people are looking for deen, and that's why the guys are looking out to commit adultery and fornication.
So you're saying,
no, deen should be the number one priority. If people begin deterring people for other than deen, if you begin deterring people from other than deen, then the Prophet ﷺ said, there's going to be a lot of evil and fitna on this planet, on this world today. Not that I know of. The second one?
The one fitting of widespread corruption?
No, from what I know, no. Did you hear it was weak?
Somebody, I thought you said it was weak,
no,
but the meaning was weak.
Never. I meant about the divorce, this one. No, not the one about fitna. This topic is Firaz's specialty, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Naam?
If all she accepts is like $1, that's not haram.
No. If she accepts 50 cents. Yeah, I'm talking about what the best should be. But if she does, if she accepts that, that's fine.
Is that makruh?
I don't know if you go say makruh. I think it all falls under mubah. But you got levels of mubah, you know, and it could be if she doesn't know that she could ask what she wants, she should be well aware she could ask what she wants, because then it could be oppressive to her. If he turns out and wants to divorce her, said, what kind of religion is this? Oh, he says it's divorcee and I'm gone and that's it. If it was in America, I would get a house, I'd get a car and all that. She should be aware that she could ask for anything, at least, at least. I don't think you could go to the point of saying it's makruh.
Now you're saying if she asked for a very high mahar, then I would be thinking about it. No, in fact, if she asked for a very high mahar, then I would drive her crazy so that she would pay me back for my mahar. So in fact, if I give her a very high mahar, this is a bad thing.
You gotta keep in mind in khula, if you drive her crazy to do khula, yeah, and it's your fault, you don't get nothing back. If a Muslim doesn't pray, or suppose Muslim doesn't pray, and she asks for divorce because he doesn't pray, he doesn't get nothing back. We're seeing a khula based on her reasons. For example, he doesn't look good. She already seen him, but now she decides, oh, he's not cute enough, or I don't like his job, or he doesn't spend a lot of time with me. These are reasons, yani, mostly lean towards her side, her fault. But if it's his fault, no. Also, you got to keep in mind, that's one of the conclusions I learned of, that it's good to do high mahar. The main reason is the Prophet ﷺ himself. Wouldn't he always, like we said in the first point right here, he gave always his dowry beforehand, although it's permissible to do it. He always did the best. You know how much he gave Salama dowry? 4,000 dirham. Yeah, and it's a big amount. He wouldn't go and leave that which is where, in his actions, he never goes, if there's something, the peak over here, he never do the minimum over here and leave the peak. He always does the peak, the best. So the Prophet ﷺ, if you look at him, one sheikh calculated him in a little book, I don't remember the figures because I read it so long ago, he compared it to the amounts today. It was something big. It was something big that he used to give them. Al-Hasan and Hussein, you know, Hussein had a marriage. He always used to marry and divorce. He married hundreds of women. He always married and divorced. And his father got up on the speech ladder and said, people, don't give your daughters to my son. He's a player. And as soon as he got down, one man said, where's Al-Hussein? I got my daughter to give to him. Because he was blood of the Prophet ﷺ, and if they had babies from him, their babies are going to be from the blood of the Prophet ﷺ. But I read in Sirah Alam al-Nubala, he used to warn them, not mahar only. When he divorces them, he give them a big lump sum and say, go on your way. Mata'an qaleel wa habibun mufar. He give them a big lump sum, says, a little bit of what I have, and someone who's special that I have to let go of. You got to make room for another one to come in.
Has the mother been anything apart from actual money? Like
anything of value. Okay. If nothing of value he can afford, it can be like the Prophet ﷺ did Qur'an. Okay, an additional third point to that, you know the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he said, go and get even if a ring of silver? You know that hadith? اذهب والتمس ولو خاتما من حديد. A ring of iron, yeah. Ring of metal or iron. Okay, the man is there and he's poor. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is the same one we're talking about, the one who wanted to marry a woman, she had offered herself to the Prophet ﷺ. He could have told, oh, okay, come on, let's do the marriage. One of you guys donate a dinar for him. He could have said that. He could have said what was the last thing he did was whatever you memorize of the Quran, teach her. But he said, go and look for it. He said, Wallah, Prophet of Allah, I couldn't even find even a metal ring. I couldn't even find that. All I own is my izar that's on me. That's all I own. He said, okay, after he went and he made him look for it and find, and he couldn't find it and he was sure about that, he said, okay, I allow you to marry her to let her, you make her memorize that which you know of the Quran. So that answers your question as well. He had memorized Quran. Her dowry was to teach him that Qur'an that he memorized. Talha. Talha and Abu Talha, yes. Their dowry was Islam, but I think that's before the conditions of Islam happened. Possibly, Allahu A'lam. But it could be. It doesn't have to be monetary, but it should be. It should be, and that's the best. Okay, Jazakumullah khair wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.